All right. Don't leave anybody out. Revelation chapter 6. You would? Revelation chapter 6. Whenever you find your spot, we'll stand and read. We are in the sixth seal tonight. Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse number 12. Thought everyone is there. A couple pages. Get started. Chapter 6, verse 12, John says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." Aren't all earthquakes low? That's not what that means. There was a great earthquake. "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." You're going to find out this was an earthquake that was not just low, it was high. Look in verse 13. "And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is," what? "Shaken." The earth shook, the heavens shook, shaken of a mighty wind. Verse 14. "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man," that about covers it, "they all hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" Fear God. It's not inappropriate. Jesus said, what did he say? "If you're not him that can kill the body, but fear him that can kill the body and cast thy soul into hell, yes, fear him." Men fear a lot of things these days, a lot of funny things. I thought about getting a list of weird phobias. But men seem to forget this one. They don't fear God. One day we will. All men will one day. And this is when it begins to happen. So let's pray. And the title is this: Fear, but no faith. Fear, but no faith. Lord, thank you for your word. God, thank you. Lord, even for passages like this, God, that are so intense and heavy, and God, a side of your righteousness that we don't like to read about, there is a level of fear involved with this. And Lord, but we're thankful for your grace. And the more we understand your wrath, the more we understand your love. We're thankful for your love for us, your grace, your mercy to spare us from this. Could you help me to explain it tonight? Help us to have ears that are attentive, hearts that are ready to hear. Your love in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. And so we come tonight to the sixth seal of the scroll. I'll spare you how it goes. Most of you have been here, but the scroll has been rolled out almost to the end of the scroll, the sixth of seven seals. You know, when you ask somebody on the side of the street, how do you think the world will end? Now, I will say, that's not a great conversation starter. But if you were to just walk up to some random person and say something like that, maybe, "Hey, can you describe the apocalypse to me?" If they respond, I have a feeling that they, even if they know nothing about the Bible, they'll probably say some things similar to what we're about to read about right here and what we have read. This is kind of what people think about the apocalypse, the sky falling apart and earthquakes and meteorites and crashing and shaking. Here we are. This right here, the sixth seal, is where things really start to get real for those in the world. The first four seals, we said, are going to be worse than we've ever seen on earth. They will. I guarantee it. It is not going to be like it is now. Some people say it is. Some people even go so far as to say the four horses are representative of how we're living now. I'm sorry, but that just cannot be true. There's been nothing like this. But I will say this, we have seen war, and we have seen bloodshed, but nothing like this, right? We have seen hunger, we have seen inflation, but nothing like that. We've seen pestilence, we've seen death, but still nothing like this. But we have seen those things. Honestly, if you go back to World War I, up to that point, from 1914 to 1918, you can make the case that we have never seen world war and bloodshed like that. If you were around at World War I, you could have said that and been accurate. And then right after that, you get to 1918. You know what happened then? The Spanish flu. There has been other pandemics before, and the Spanish flu was there on the heels of the World War I. And that flu affected 1/3 of the world's population, and 50 million people died. By the way, that's double the amount of deaths from World War I. Can you imagine being around that time? And you can make the case that there's never been death and disease in the world up until that point like that. You could have made that case. So much so, that's actually what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. They believe the tribulation started in 1914. Look it up. In fact, you know how they walk around, and I went out there, they said, hey, we're from, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was like, great. I walked out there. They were not expecting that. But I talked to them for 45 minutes. I just wanted to know. Like, just tell me everything. And so they weren't quite prepared for that. But it's very interesting. But that's what they'll teach. And that, and the World War I are the wars and the rumors of wars. That's the red horse, they say. And they believe the pandemic was that pestilences that Jesus talked about in the Olivet Discourse. And they might even say something like this. Think about it. 20 million people died in World War I. 50 million people died in that pandemic. That's got to be it. And I will give this to them. That's pretty bad. And that's a lot of death. But that was still less, this, hear me, that was less than 5% of the population. If you take World War I and that pandemic, that's a lot of dying. Maybe the most we've seen. And that was less than 5% of the population. John said that just the four horses is how much? 25%. That's five times as bad as World War I and the pandemic of 1918 combined. That was not the tribulation. Hey, we've seen things like this, but we've never seen things like that. Now, are you following me? Have you seen that? So what I'm saying tonight is we've seen nothing close to as bad as what will happen during those four horses, but still, we have to concede this, we have seen something in the same realm. We have seen wars. We have seen hunger. We have seen pestilence and death, just not on that scale. And so all of that is going to be happening. And as the rapture happens, we're taken out of here. And then at some point later after that, the Antichrist will ride in on that white horse, and he'll create that one world government, and he'll create world peace. And then he'll get on that red horse, and war will break out and bloodshed like we've never seen. And then the black horse of starvation and hunger will begin, and like we've never seen. And the pale horse will come, and pestilence and death will come upon us like we've never seen. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to have Christians there. Remember we talked last week, we're not going to re-preach all of that, but people will be saved at that point, and they'll pick up their Bibles, and they'll understand this actually is it. And people will be saved, and they'll start preaching the gospel right there. They'll start preaching, and here's what they're going to do. They're going to point all this out. They're going to say, come on! Guys, can't you see this? Don't you see the Antichrist? Don't you see the one world government? It's right here in Revelation 6. They're going to point to these verses that we've been reading. And they'll say something like this. Yeah, he brought world peace, but it's not going to last long. And he's not who you think he is. You just wait. And then the red horse will come, won't it? And war will break out. And then they'll say, don't you see that? Don't you see the red horse playing out? And they'll say, don't you see the black horse of famine? Don't you see all the hunger and the death? Don't you see that pale horse of death? And a quarter, come on, guys. 1/4 of the earth is dead. Everything is lining up. You might wonder, how in the world do people not see it? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:3 tells us that the world, led by the Antichrist, will say this, peace and safety. It says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. It's sudden because they're not expecting it. The Christians is not so sudden, they know. But the world is going to have sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. As the Christians are trying to point this out and pointing people to the Word of God, the world will say things like this. We've seen this before. We've seen war before. We've seen hunger before. We've seen death. We've seen pestilence. We've seen disease. It's all going to be okay. It always is. It always has been. It's always worked out before. And by the way, I'm 32, but I can't tell you how many times that I've listened to the media and our world is going to explode. And here we are. And it's going to sound like these are the crazy people. And they're going to just say things like this. Come on, guys. It's all right. It's just the start. This is the start of our utopia. World peace is here. The one world government is here. We have these dissenters. We'll take care of that. And they'll say things like, come on, things just got to get worse before they get better. Just be patient. Our utopia is coming. Everything will be okay. But you have to know that through all of that, the Christians will also be saying this. Just so you know, here's what happens next. Look at verse 12. Imagine yourself there during the four horses. Verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. They're saying, this is what's coming. You don't understand. You need to accept Christ. You can accept the gospel. There's still time. You can be saved from the wrath of God. And they say, oh, whatever. Yeah, sure. What are you, Chicken Little? The sky is falling. Right. You're just paranoid. Everything's going to be fine. And then Satan and the Antichrist will hear about that, won't they? And they'll hear those Christians trying to warn the world about what's happening. You know what they'll do? We learned last week. They'll slaughter the Christians, won't they? The Antichrist will slaughter them. And we'll see those very Christians who were faithful to preach the word and warn mankind. We'll see them under the altar in heaven. I learned about that last week. And then the sixth seal. It all starts. Everything that those crazy Christians said starts happening. And how do you think the world reacts when there's a great earthquake? By the way, in diverse places, Jesus says. This isn't just one big earthquake in one spot. Earthquakes all over the world. And how do you think the world is going to react when the sun turns black, just like those Christians said? And how do you think the world will react when the moon turns red as blood, just like the Christians said? And the stars fall from heaven and pummel the earth. And the sky rips apart. Hey, they may have seen war before. They may have seen famine before. They may have seen pestilence and death before. But they have never seen anything like this before. Anything like this. And everything those crazy Christians said would happen is starting to happen. And you have to know this. The Christians didn't just tell them about the sixth seal. The Christians said, hey, after you see all that, that's just the sixth seal. Then Jesus will open the seventh seal. And when Jesus opens the seventh seal, you just can't imagine the devastation. When he opens that seventh seal, there's going to be seven trumpet judgments that come from that. And when those seven judgments devastate the earth, we're still not done. And there'll be seven bowl judgments that come. And they would have said that to these people. Now the world would have heard all of that, but the world would have just wrote them off as crazy. But when that sixth seal happens, undeniable, the sky, everything that's happening, when they see that, the world will start to realize, oh no, they were right. And this is happening, and this is bad, but the wrath of the Lamb is coming. And the direct wrath of those trumpet judgments, the direct wrath of those bowl judgments are coming And here's how they react. The Bible tells us right here in verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of who? Him that sitteth on the throne. How did they know about him? They weren't reading their Bible. The Christians made sure they knew about it, you see. And from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, we're going to deal with all of that in a second, but here's what I want to do tonight. I want to back up. Now that you have the big picture, and I want to take a closer look at these things. I want to really break apart and explain these things that are going to happen when Jesus opens that sixth seal, and then we'll take a closer look at the world's reaction to that. Okay? And so, back up to verse 12. The first thing that happens as Jesus opens that sixth seal is what John calls a great earthquake. You see that? And lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, this is not any kind of earthquake that we've ever seen. The word earthquake is the Greek word seismos. And it literally just means a shaking or a stirring up. In fact, it's that same word used in Matthew 8:24. When there was a tempest on the Sea of Galilee, that was an earthquake, right? That was a shaking up. And so this shaking can be described as an earthquake, but this seismos, this earthquake is not just an earthquake, it's a great earthquake. And the reason what makes it great is that this earthquake is going to involve more than just the earth itself. Jesus said in Matthew 24:7 that there would be earthquakes in diverse places. There's going to be simultaneous earthquakes all over the earth. But again, it's not only going to quake the earth. There's going to be quaking and shaking and stirring up seismos in the sky. Verse 12 says, it goes on to say, the sun will become black like sackcloth of hair, and the moon will become as blood. In those days, they made sackcloth out of black goat's hair. And so it would have been a black cloth. And so the sun will become black and the moon will turn deep red like blood. Now, exactly what that means, we can't say for sure. There might be something that actually takes place with the actual sun and the actual moon that makes them actually change color. Or it could be that this is what the sun looks like from Earth. And the moon looks like from Earth, from all the volcanic ash. Can you imagine the volcanoes that after this earthquake hits the entire Earth and all the eruptions and the earthquake causes those volcanoes to erupt and the ashes go into the sky? If you can imagine all that ash that spewed out of Mount St. Helens, listen, that was nothing compared to what's happening here. You take that and you multiply it by thousands and thousands after all of these earthquakes. And so there's going to be ash just dumped into the sky. And so it could be that there's this film, this black, nasty film around the earth that makes the sun basically be null and void, and the moon being closer to the earth, you can tell it's there, but it's red, you see. Because how does it, listen, we have a little bit of physics. How do we see the moon? Okay, so if the sun's not shining, no moon. Okay, so I would contend that what's happened is that there's such thick ash. The sun is, its rays are blocked, but the moon is shining the sun, and it's looking red through the ash. Are you seeing that? That's what I think. How can we know? We can't know. I've not been there. I will not be there. But that's what I would say. Okay. So that's what's happening first. The moon is red. The sun is black. Verse 13 says that stars will fall from the sky. Look at verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Now, obviously, this is not the big balls of gas that are bigger than the sun crashing into the earth. We would not last, right? Okay? And this isn't other planets, some of which are much bigger than the earth, crashing into our planet. The word for star is the Greek word aster. It's where we get our word asteroid. And you say, why didn't they just use that word? Well, the word asteroid was not invented until 1802. That wasn't even a word. Okay? And the Greeks really didn't differentiate between different bodies of outer space either. They were all just kind of called stars. All right? And so that word aster could mean anything in outer space except the sun and the moon. Those were named. All right? But everything else was basically aster. And so the most likely these stars are going to be meteorites and asteroids, some of which can be as big as a truck pummeling through the sky and crashing into the earth, meteor shower like we've never seen. But whatever it is that's crashing into the earth, John said it's going to look like a fig tree that isn't ripe yet, so the figs ought not fall off. But why are the figs falling off? Because there's such a great wind, he says. If you look at verse 13, when she is shaken with a mighty wind, and this fig tree with unripe fruit is being shaken so violently that all the fruit just pummels into the earth out of the tree. That's what it's going to look like, except not figs, much bigger than figs. Asteroids pummeling the earth. Yeah. You don't want to be here for this. Can I say that again? Okay. Then verse 14. It says, the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. Now again, exactly what that means, I don't know for sure. What does it mean that the sky, the heaven, is rolled back or is parted like that? The word parted means ripped, right? How does the sky get ripped? I don't know. But my first thought is this. Is remember the lot of ash? At this point, the sky is basically ash. And you can imagine the asteroids ripping through that ash and crashing into the earth. That would be my guess. And so we have these earthquakes all over the earth, shaking the whole earth, so much so that we say that every mountain and every island is moved out of its place. Every mountain and every island, every earthquake that's possible is happening right now. And volcanoes are going crazy and spewing ash into the sky, and it darkens the whole sky. And then you look up and all you can see are little pockets of light as asteroids barrel through the ash and rip the sky apart and pummel the earth. You see it? And they'll hurl through the sky and they'll rip all of that ash and they'll look like a scroll being ripped up. I've heard some commentaries that says right there, a scroll when it was rolled together. If you imagine a scroll, it's like a piece of paper rolled up. And if you roll a piece of paper up and then unroll it, and then roll it up and then unroll it, and then roll it up, and then unroll it. What's it going to look like? It's going to look all matted, right? And it's going to have little holes all over, and I believe that's what they're talking about. The sky will be full of holes and just worn by the meteors crashing through it into the earth. Here's the point of all this. Nobody is going to be able to say, we've seen this before. No. I don't think so. Right? This is going to be pretty obvious, don't you think? Everybody will know, as we've seen, everybody will experience this day and will know this is the wrath of the Lamb. This is the wrath of the one on the throne. Everyone will know that. And here's what God is doing right here. He is making sure to get mankind's attention and to help them know, this is me. You've been stubborn up to this point and you would not admit it's me. Now I'm going to make sure you know it's me. You see? And they all get the picture. Now that we have seen before. Do you remember when God gave the law on Mount Sinai? Remember what happened there? The Bible says in Exodus 19:18, and Mount Sinai was altogether a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Earthquake, showing us that this was God. The ground shook at Calvary, didn't it? When Jesus died on the cross and the ground shook, here's what Matthew 27:54 says. Now when the centurion, what's a centurion? One of those Roman soldiers, one of those who took a part in actually crucifying Christ. And when the centurion, they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, you know what else happened? The sky turned black, didn't it? And the sky turned black and the earth shook. Here's what the Bible says. They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. They got the picture. God sent an earthquake to free Paul, didn't he? From the Philippian jail. And that jailer knew, didn't he? God was working. And you know what he said? What must I do to be saved? See that? And here in the tribulation, God will shake not just the earth, but he'll shake the heavens. And he'll do it in a way that no one's ever seen. And that's what happens when the sixth seal is open. Okay, so what happens on earth? Here's the reaction. We already read it, but I'm going to read it again. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. So everybody was afraid, weren't they? Everybody was. They feared God right there. Everyone from the rich and powerful. We can go through and explain what he means by the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men. I think we get the picture, don't we? And then he says the bondmen and the free. And so that's everybody. From the top to the bottom. The rich men, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, those guys will know it. The powerful men, the great men, the chief captains, the rulers of, and the leaders of great armies, the mighty men, the warriors, the bondmen, those who are slaves, and then every freeman, that's everybody. They're afraid, and everyone is doing what? They're hiding. They're trying to. Says they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. I don't know who they're hiding from. I don't know what good it's going to do. The one who moved every mountain, you're going to go hide in a mountain? But they didn't have much of a choice, did they? Because here's why. They knew they had nowhere to hide. There was nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide. Now, you read this, and if you just stopped right there, you would kind of wish and hope that this would cause them to pray, don't you think? Like, maybe like something like this. Oh no, I was wrong. The Christians didn't just tell them that judgment would come. They also said, call out on Christ and you'll be saved. They would have known the gospel. And you would have wished that they would have prayed for forgiveness. In a sense, they do pray, but they don't pray to God for repentance. They pray to the mountains and the rocks. That's who they pray to. Look in verse 16. And they said, to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of wrath is come, of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Stubborn. This is the hardness of man. I don't need God. I don't want God. God is literally shaking the universe. And they know it's the Lamb. They said, hide us from him, that the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. They know what's happening. They know it's God. They know it's not some false God. They know it's not their heritage or these spirit animals or weirdness. They're very clear about this. They know this is God Almighty doing this. But there's no repentance. None in these verses. No repentance. Sad, isn't it? There's no seeking after God. There's no cry for mercy. Hey, up to this point, they've mocked God. They've hated God. They've hated Christians. They've hated the Bible. And they're just like humanity always is. And if you look at Romans 1, and as Paul described humanity, he says they knew God, but they refused to glorify him as God. And that's humanity, which is really no different than now. We look at our creation, and we know there's a God. And we refuse to glorify him as God. We refuse to be thankful to him. The problem has never really been that they didn't know for sure if God was real. And in our society, can I just help you? Your friends who are lost, their problem isn't really that they don't know God exists. That's not really their problem. Well, how do you know that, Brother Jeff? Because the Bible says they do know he exists. If you look at Romans 1, God has showed it to them. He has revealed it to them. It is clearly seen. The problem for man is not that we don't think God exists. The problem has always been that we don't want to surrender to him. We don't want to repent. Because repent requires turning from our way. And these people would not do that. Even with the shaking of the universe upon them, They refused to surrender to God. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The devils know there's a God. The demons know there's a God, and they're afraid of him. The demons know that God is real, and they're scared out of their minds of God. Whenever Jesus came near, what did they do? They screamed, they cried out in horror, "Don't sentence us to judgment." They know that it's coming. They know they're going to be judged. But the demons have made a choice. They will not repent. And James said that, really, they have no faith. Again, here's that word faith. What is faith? If you've been in Sunday school, you know what faith is. Faith is when you believe on something so much that you will respond. Faith is when you understand it with all your mind, and then you believe it with all of your heart, and then you respond. The devils know for sure there's a God, and they believe it even. They know he's real, but they will not respond, and neither will these in the sixth seal. What are you saying? Judgment is not going to change their mind. The judgment of God will not change their mind. In fact, do you know how Jesus describes hell? You know, Jesus talked about hell quite a bit. Way more than he talked about heaven. Because he wanted to warn mankind about that. And when he does, typically, here's how he describes it. Does this sound familiar? Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know what that means, gnashing of teeth? It doesn't mean that they're in pain, that it hurts. That's not what they're talking about. They're gnashing their teeth in anger. Do you remember when Stephen preached the gospel and the Pharisees gnashed their teeth at him? They didn't bite him. Okay? They didn't jump on him. Stop talking about this. That's not what they did. They gnashed their teeth. I hate him, right? They were angry. They were gnashing their teeth. And listen, those in hell are not like, "Oh man, now I'm sorry." They are not. For all of eternity, they will burn and they will face the wrath of God, and it will do nothing for their soul. They will just, for the rest of eternity, gnash their teeth at anger with God. That's what's going to happen. And hatred toward him. And these people, right here, by the time you get to the sixth seal, there's a lot of people who are going to face God's judgment, and they already hate God. And the judgment is only going to make them hate him more. And they gnash their teeth toward him. And they know he's real, but they don't want him. They don't want him. You can't make somebody want God. There's no formula for someone to get saved. I will never tell you. You just keep praying, you just keep witnessing, and one day they will get saved. I cannot make that promise. I'm lying to you. I cannot make that promise. You cannot make somebody want God. All you can do is tell them, and tell them, and tell them, and be a witness to them, and love them, and give them the best chance. But we cannot make anyone get saved. And these people would not do it. They don't want God. They just want to die to escape his judgment. But they don't realize something very important. That even if that were to happen, and the rocks did fall on them, that they would immediately be swallowed up in hell, and there will be way more wailing and way more gnashing of teeth than are happening even during the sixth seal. And it will be forever. Listen to me, there's no hiding from the wrath of God. You will not hide from it. There's only one way to escape the wrath of God, and it's to allow Jesus to take it for you. That's why he died. What is it that, who are they hiding from? Look at verse 16. "Fall on us," they say to the rocks and mountains, "and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the" what? "Lamb." You know why he's the Lamb? He died for these people. He is the Lamb of God. He already took the wrath. He did that so they won't have to face this. And they say, "I want to face it, God. I don't want your help." Let the rocks fall on me. Sad, isn't it? Very sad. But right now, Jesus is offering to take that wrath. Right now, Jesus offers to all mankind freedom from this wrath. He offers salvation. Again, I tell you, salvation means saved from this. Not just saved from a hard life. Not saved from a life of drugs, although I'm glad when people's lives change and they get out of that. Not saved from anything this life is going to do to you. When we're saved from God's wrath. We're actually saved from God himself, aren't we? And he took his own wrath for us. And he offers it to us. And you can imagine the heartbreak in God. Because he's still, hey, there's still nothing in God that wants to do this. But God is holy, isn't he? And God cannot tolerate sin. He cannot. If he was okay with even one sin, he would no longer be holy, holy, holy. He would not. He would be corrupted, wouldn't he? And God is just, which means he has to deal with it. He can't ignore it. Doesn't matter how much he loves you, he cannot ignore your sin. He is just. If he were to ignore one sin, he would then be unjust, wouldn't he? But here's the thing. He paid for it. He offered himself, the just one, for the unjust. Us and these people in this seal that deserve the wrath of God, Jesus took it for them. That Romans says that he can be both just and the justifier of men. He did everything he could, but men refused him. Refused him. And one day, it's going to catch up, and they will ignore God enough and enough, and they will end up right here in the sixth seal. What I'm saying is right now you have the opportunity to escape the wrath of the Lamb. You have the opportunity to escape his wrath both right here in the tribulation, and you have the opportunity to be saved from his wrath for all of eternity. You can escape that wrath. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to escape the wrath of God, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to humble yourself before him. And you're going to have to repent. And you're going to have to turn from your way. And you're going to have to accept the payment that Jesus made on the cross. And you'll be saved from his wrath. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's our message, isn't it, church? That's what we're all about. And there's so many things that we can get distracted from in this world, but as you get a good glimpse, and again, we say, why are we learning all this, Pastor? If we're saved, we're not going to be here. What's the point of us learning? Well, as we get a better and better picture of what the wrath of God looks like, it gives us a more and more clear reason to work the field, doesn't it? And to warn the world, and warn the world. And they need to be saved. And if they need to be saved before the first seal gets here, don't they? Because they can get saved after it starts. But they'll go through this just like everybody else will, you see. And they don't want to be here for this. So what do we need to do? We need to work the field. Again, here's what we don't need to do. We don't need to make picket signs and stand on the side of the street and say, you're all going to hell, repent, with flames. You laugh, but churches do that sometimes. That is not what we're going to do. Okay? Here's what we need to do. We need to start loving people, don't we? And we need to develop relationships with people. And we need to show the love of God to them and show them that we care. And get over ourselves a little bit and get a little bit uncomfortable and start talking to lost people and developing relationships with them so that they'll trust us enough to listen to us so that we can reason with them and so that we can show them what's happening and what's going to happen in their eternity if they don't do something about it, and we can give them the gospel. Yeah. But that's our message. And I hope it's an encouragement to you. You're not going to face this, but I also hope it's a motivation to you that there's a lot of people in this city that if the rapture happened right now, before we walked out of here, they would face all of this. And we need to get a burden, don't we? We need to get a burden. And work. Lord, thank you so much Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that you love the world, that you gave your only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Help us to have that thought ingrained into our mind. Help us to see ourselves, even as you called us in your word, ambassadors of you, to reconcile man to you, to have that message of reconciliation, to warn the world of your wrath to come. So God, help us to do it with grace and truth. Help us to do it, speak the truth in love. Help us, God, have a heart for people. And God, as we see this world of sin and we see the corruption around us, help us not to be angry. And even as we'll see on Sunday morning, having a desire to call fire on this earth, help us to avoid that spirit and have a spirit that wants to save man from your wrath, even as you have. Help us be like you. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. Brother Josh is going to play a song of invitation. God's worked in your heart. Now's the time to respond.